The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text 23, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on December 9, 1997, in Heidelberg, Germany.
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Evam Shipam Thanushi Sanditi Tam Mutsarcha
Evam Shipam Thanushi Sanditi Tam Mutsarcha
Banam Sabajram Ibatha Dridayam Bhaveda
Banam Sabajram Ibatha Dridayam Bhaveda
So Sri Gvamam Dasha Mukhayanya Patar Pamana
So Sri Gvamam Dasha Mukhayanya Patar Pamana
Daheti Jalpati Jane Sukriti Variktaha
Daheti Jalpati Jane Sukriti Variktaha
After thus rebuking Ravan, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Shine punye martya lokam vishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to the earth. The fruit of activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the supreme personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform there are higher and lower positions. But when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sagunam samati yaitam brahmapuyaya kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because, after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. Karmana daiva netrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. We are reading from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Srila Shukadeva Goswami is describing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. We find in this beautiful story, which is so exhaustively explained in Sri Valmiki Muni's Ramayana, the wonderful descent and activities of Lord Sri Ramachandra. It is explained in Gita, Hari Pranai Sadhana Vinashaya Chukusutta Dharma Samstat Anarthaya Samprabhami. That in order to protect his devotees and punish the miscreants and re-establish the principles of religion, the Lord descends again and again within this material world. At this particular time, the great demon Ravana, along with his brother Kumbhakarna and his son Indrajit, they were creating terrible, terrible disturbance within this universe. They were so greedy. Ravana was the very, very personification of lust. He just wanted to enjoy everything for his own personal sense gratification. He could not tolerate anyone enjoying anything. He wanted to be the only. And therefore, he performed very great tapasya to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And he became so powerful, he became such a mystic, that he was able to practically conquer the whole world. And even the heavenly abodes were trembling in fear of Ravana. He was so strong that he was able to even conquer Indra, the king of heaven. Srila Prabhupada explains that Ravana, he had no pious activities at all, but he was such a fantastically exalted materialist that he decided, if I cannot get to heavenly planets by my pious activities, I will build a staircase. I will achieve it through this process. In the same way, materialistic people, by their own material expertise, they are trying to somehow or other achieve higher and higher states of happiness. However, as we learn from the example of Ravana, they are never successful. Although for some time they may appear successful. By our material calculations, we cannot overcome the miseries of this world. We cannot overcome even the anarthas or the unwanted things within our own hearts. Everyone is at all times completely depending on the mercy of the Lord. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam ekobhavanam yogadadhikam. There is one supreme being. And there are innumerable parts and parcels who are also spiritual beings. But those innumerable parts and parcels are always depending on the mercy of that one Supreme Lord Krishna. We are completely dependent in every phase of life, in the spiritual world and in the material world. Every living entity is completely depending on Krishna for everything at all times. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimuktatma karataham iti manyate. But the bewildered spirit soul, thinks he is or she is independent of Krishna, thinks that we are the doers of our activities, when actually all our activities are being carried out by nature. We cannot open our eyes with the help of a demigod in charge of the opening of the eyes. We cannot breathe without the demigod Vayu supplying air. We cannot see without Surya, the demigod, providing light. In fact, it is said there is a demigod in charge of every facility to move your body. You cannot open your fingers without the help of the Lord. And they are all getting their powers from Krishna. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacha etunani lokonte jagatmi parivartite. Krishna says this entire material nature with all of its agents is working under my direction. Krishna is Sarveshwareshwara. He is the controller of all controllers. And the great illusion that keeps us within this material world, bound by karma, birth after birth after birth, is we are under the illusion that we are the controller, that we are the doer, and that we are the enjoyer. This is called Maya. Srila Prabhupada defines Maya as that which is not. We think we're the body, but we are not this body. We think that we are the enjoyers, but we are not the enjoyers. We think that we are the doers and controllers of our activities, but we are not. Krishna is the source of everything. Rasya Shakti Vibhataiva Shruyate. Through Krishna's various energies, everything within material and spiritual existence is being carried out. We are all simply Krishna's servants. There is a beautiful example that Srila Prabhupada gives that in this material creation, everyone is like a puppet. In Maya, she has strings, and these strings are the three modes of material nature. She's just moving us about, and we think we're moving ourselves. The puppet is an illusion if he thinks, I am moving my arm. Actually, the puppeteer is moving the arm. Similarly, it is described, just like a bull with a ring in his nose, that bull is thinking, I am doing as I like. But actually, he's just being dragged according to the master with the rope. You pull the bull to the right, and the bull thinks, I am going to the right by my sweet independent will. And you pull the bull to the left, and he's thinking, now I decide. Then you pull him around and around and around and up and down and throw him to the ground. He thinks, now I am going to the ground. I am the controller. So we are all in this condition. We are simply being controlled by the modes of material nature. And material nature is being controlled by Krishna. Now Krishna, by his great mercy, he gives us all free will. And in the realm of that free will, he allows us to exercise so many of our desires, and he gives us so many facilities. However, he also eventually gives us the reaction. May it be good or bad. So Ravana was such a person. He performed saj tapasya to Lord Shankar. Lord Shiva was so pleased with him. He gave him so many powers. But then Ravana wanted to utilize those powers against the Lord and the people in general. He had such mystic powers. It is described here that one, through pious activities or impious activities, is always getting either good or bad reactions. But Srila Prabhupada describes that for a devotee, the difference between pious activity and impious activity is the difference between wet stool and dry stool. Do you all know what is stool? Now, for a hog, there's a big difference between wet stool and dry stool. For a hog, dry stool is very unpalatable and tasteless. But wet stool is very sumptuous, delicious, full of juice. So the hog, when he gets somehow or other, by good fortune, he gets wet stool, he enjoys like anything, just sucking those delicious juices from the stool. But when he gets dry stool, he's very sad. It's very hard to chew. No flavor like that. Now, the hog discriminates. However, a human being, for him, whether it's wet or dry, it is all stool. That means it is all abominable. So similarly, for a materialist of people, the results of pious activities is material happiness and prosperity. And the results of sinful activities is suffering and anxiety. But for a devotee, it makes no difference because it's all abominable. It's all material. It's all temporary. He doesn't care for either one. It is all like stupid. Actually, Ramchandra, in the previous verse, he even compared Ravana to stool. Do you want to hear the chastisement of Ram to Ravana just before he killed him? Lord Ramchandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for a dog steals edibles from the kitchen in the absence of the householder. In my absence, you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, should punish you." Supreme Personality of Godhead is ultimately the giver of the reactions of all of our activities through the powers of his various energies. But all of those energies are personally being conducted ultimately by him. So here we see that Ravana became so powerful in the materialistic sense. Actually, it is explained that when Hanuman secretly entered into Sri Lanka just to check out where is Sita and what is the military powers of Ravana, he came at night and he saw Ravana sleeping in a beautiful, beautiful house made of gold and crystal. So many jewels. No one had opulence like Ravana. He was able to make his whole city made out of gold, pure gold. And when Hanumanji saw Ravana laying there, he saw such an incredible personality. He thought, if only this person was a devotee. He's actually full of so many glorious attributes. He had so much power. He had so much influence over others. He had incredible depths of Vedic knowledge. He was really and truly a great, great person. He was a great king. But he had one problem. He was envious of the wanted to enjoy separate from the Lord. Therefore, all of his good qualities just made him a worse demon. The powers that Krishna gives us, if they are used in his service, they can be for the greatest benefit for everyone. But those same powers, when they are used for our own selfish desires, are the greatest, greatest problems for ourselves and others. Ravana was such a person. literally conquering planets. He was conquering kingdoms. He was conquering everyone. No one could stand before him. Therefore, the demigods and the great rishis and sages pray to the Supreme Lord to appear. And Lord Ramchandra especially appeared just to kill this Ravana. So Ravana, he was enjoying his capital in Sri Lanka. He had so many queens and so many beautiful heavenly damsels that he had captured, and they were just completely subjected to his desires. And he had so much wealth and so big of a population in his kingdom, all surrendered to him. What else could a person want? Would you not think he would be satisfied? Today a man is satisfied just having a little apartment that he can pay for. To some extent he thinks, oh, I have accomplished much. Not satisfied, but he's thinking something great about himself. Ravana owned the entire kingdom made out of gold. But yet, he was never satisfied. He was always looking for something else to enjoy. Because the soul is looking eternally for ecstatic bliss. And we'll never be satisfied until we experience the ecstatic bliss of reuniting with Krishna through devotion. However much we try to accumulate and enjoy in this world, our hearts will always be frustrated. So the sister of Ravana, Suparnaka, she saw the beauty of Ram and fell in love with him. She wanted to enjoy Ram for her own sense gratification. And she saw that Sita was an impediment for her enjoyment of Ram, because Ram was attached to Sita. Therefore, Suparnaka attacked to try to kill Sita so that she could have Ram for her own sense gratification. And she, like Ravana, was very, very powerful. She was so powerful, she could change her form if she so desired, from an ugly, terrible, demoness, Rakshasi, to a beautiful lady. Even great, great warriors and kings, they were petrified with fear of this Mataji. Suparnaka, she was a lady. For those who are interested in woman's liberation, Suparnaka was a great hero. She could devour thousands of men at a time with her mouth. Hare Krishna. Just eat them. Kill them. Beat them. Destroy them. She had such powers. She was so infatuated by the beauty of Ram. She wanted to enjoy it. But Sita was an impediment, so she attacked Sita to kill her. But then Lakshman, always being there to be the humble servant of Lord Ram, he cut off Suparnaka's nose with his arrow. And although Suparnaka was such an ugly, terrible Rakshasi, still she thought she was very beautiful. And cutting off nose for a lady is very embarrassing, because every woman is naturally very proud and attached to their beauty, even if they don't have any. Still they think they have, somehow, by their imagination. So she was so angry that she went to Dushana, her brother, who had tens and thousands of soldiers with him. And they were so angry, they attacked Ram. And Ram said, when he saw these tens and thousands of Rakshasa army coming to get revenge, he said, Lakshman, you stay here with Sita, I will fight them. And he just took his bow and arrow and he annihilated all the tens and thousands of Rakshasa soldiers. And then he killed Dushana and his brother.
even more wonderful than she even expected, so she wanted him even more to be her consort. So she went back to Sri Lanka, and she was just furious. She wanted revenge, so she told Ravana. When Ravana saw her without a nose, bleeding, he couldn't believe, how could anyone dare to do this to my sister? Impossible. Don't they know I am Ravana? She is my sister. I cannot allow anyone to get away with this. Who has done this to you? Where is he? I will destroy him. Parnaka said, it is Ram. And then she began to explain how powerful is this Ram, how he killed Ravana's brother, Dushana, as well, and how he annihilated an entire army of Rakshasas within a matter of minutes, single-handedly, without even an army or a chariot.
But, you see, materialistic people, they understand how other materialistic people are thinking because they know how they're thinking.
Hare Krishna.
Suparnika, being a female, understood how much she was lusty for Ram. And therefore, she knew full well how much Ravana would be lusty for Sita.
And therefore she began to describe the beautiful, beautiful, charming qualities of Sita Devi. That there is no woman in all the worlds that can compare to the beauty of Sita. Her lotus-like eyes, her soft and fair complexion, her shapely form, beautiful hair, wonderful disposition. She was describing in very great detail the various limbs of Sita's most elegant body. And she said to Ravana that no one in the world is fit to enjoy this Sita except you. Such beauty can only be suitable for you to enjoy. How you will enjoy. But there's a problem. She's attached to this Ram. But if you can get Sita from Ram, how much you will be in bliss. So Ravana, disappointed hearing the description of Sita's beauty, he became completely infatuated with lust. I must have her. So he started making all kinds of grand plans to get Sita. Approached one great, great yogi who was a Rakshasa yogi. His name was Maricha. And he told Maricha that you should disguise yourself as a beautiful golden deer because Sita and Ram are living in the forest. They were banished by Kaikeyi's wrath. And when Ram and Lakshman are away chasing after you, I will kidnap Sita. Maricha told Ravana, you are crazy. I had already met Ram before. Previously, I used to be harassing the sages along with my associate Subhabhu. When they were performing yajnas, we used to pass stool and urine and throw bones and blood all over their yajnas just to spoil them. We used to eat sages. But then Vishwamitra Muni brought this Ram to the yajna. And as we were attacking, he shot one arrow at my friend Subhabhu, who was a powerful Rakshasa. He was immediately killed. And then he shot an arrow at me. And that arrow threw me 80 miles away into the ocean. He said, please, Brahma is the Supreme Personality of God. He is all powerful. You, me, no one can compare to him in strength. We should not disturb him. He said, in fact, just from what I had to endure by being punished by Ram, day and night, I had just seen that terrible form of Ram coming to punish me. I dream about it at night. I see the vision of Ram all day. He is like time personified. No one can challenge him. He said, look at me now. I'm a great Rakshasa king, but I'm living as a hermit, just doing tapasya, just somehow or other to try to forget this fear of Ram, just hiding so he will not find me. He said, please, give up this foolish idea of enjoying Sita. You have your own capital, you have your wife, Mandodari, you have so many wonderful opulences, just enjoy them, but stay away from Ram. But when a person becomes too much addicted to material enjoyment, loses intelligence. Krishna says in Gita, Dhyayato Vishayam Pungsam Sampat Sanjayate Kama, that when one contemplates the objects of the senses, one develops attachment to them. From such attachment, lust awakens within the heart. And when lust is unfulfilled, we become angry. And when we become angry, our memory is distorted. And through the distortion of the memory, our intelligence is lost. And then we fall down to the most miserable conditions of life. So Ravana could not hear good advice. Why? Because he was too proud. This is one of the greatest dangers of false pride. Queen Kunti said, Akinchana Gocharam, it's better to have nothing, to be proud of nothing. Because if you have high birth, if you have physical strength and beauty and education, you become so proud of these things. You cannot even hear good advice, even from your well-wishers. You think you can do anything. Pride cometh before the fall. Wherever there's a fall down, we can understand that preceding this must be false pride. Because a humble person never falls. A humble person is always seeking the help of God and always seeking the help of the servants of God. And even if there's some difficulty and some temporary problem, immediately he reaches out and gets picked up. But a proud person thinks, I am so learned, I am so strong, I am so great, I can do it myself. Krishna withdraws his mercy and that person must fall. It is just a matter of time. The greatest danger of being proud is you think you have the right to judge others. And then you begin to offend devotees. And when you offend devotees, Krishna takes everything away in due course of time. Just to teach us a good lesson. Because Krishna cannot tolerate the offenses to his devotees. So Ravana, due to this egoistic mentality, because he was so great, so powerful, and so popular, and so feared, when Maharishi told him the truth, Ravana became ferociously angry. He said, why are you in such a position? You think this little mendicant Ravana can challenge me, Ravana? What kind of nonsense you are talking? Who do you think you are? What blasphemy! You are blaspheming me! To compare me to Ram, a hermit living in the forest, that is blasphemy. To say that he can defeat me? He said, either you do what I say, or I kill you and eat you. teacher, his mind was thinking, it will be better to be killed by Ram than Ravan. Certainly more credit. He knew he had to be killed. If he in any way opposed Ram, he would definitely be killed by him. But if he didn't, he would be killed by Ravan. So if I have to be killed, better to be killed by Lord Ramchandra. So Maricha disguised himself as a beautiful golden deer. And he was just playing around the forest. It was actually the Dandakaranya forest. The name of the place today is Nasik. The ancient Vedic name is Panchavati. Have any of you been there? We're having a yatra there, probably in February. One yatra there already. We'll be having another. It's a nice yatra because it's very close to Bombay. It's only 5 hours by train or 5 hours by bus. So we go at night and we sleep on the train and wake up and we're in Nasik. And so many wonderful holy places there. You have heard of the river Godavari? The origin, the source of the river Godavari is in Nasik. There's a big mountain named Brahmagiri. And that is where the great Rishi Gautam Muni used to perform his tapasya. And that is where by his tapasya the Godavari River came down to the earth. It begins and flows all the way. 1,000 miles later, Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Raya on the banks of the river Godavari. And also there's a very, very famous Jyotirlinga, one of the 12 most powerful deities of Shiva. It's called Trimbakeshwar, Mahadev. And also that is the place where Ram and Sita were living after they were banished from Ayodhya. They went to Chitrakoot, which is not far from Prayag, Allahabad. And then they went into the Dandakaranya forest and they lived in this place called Panchavati. And there's actually a temple exactly in the place where Ram kidnapped Sita. It's a special place because there's a deity of Sita, all alone. Usually Sita's always with Ram. There's a deity of Sita. And then across the courtyard of the temple, there's a deity of Ravana, dressed up as a rishi. And the reason why this place is called Nasik is Na means nose and Sik means to cut off. This is also the place that Lakshmi cut off the nose of Suparnakha. So when they were living in Nasik, Panchavati, there's also a confluence of two rivers, the Kapila and the Godavari, the Sangam. So many holy places. If any of you would like to come. So, Maricha, as a mystical deer, was dancing, so charming, that Sita was attracted. She said, "Oh, Ram, this is our last year of exile. This beautiful deer, I want to take him back to Ayodhya and keep him as a pet in my palace." Please catch this deer for me. And Lakshman said, "Actually, Ram, I think this is not a deer. This is actually a Rakshasa demon disguised." Sita said, no, please get this deer for me. I'm so much attracted to the beautiful colors of this deer and how he is dancing so nicely. So Ram always wants to please Sita. So he went chasing after the deer. And the deer, in a very mystical way, was appearing and disappearing. Appearing and disappearing, and appearing and disappearing and dancing so nicely, and he allured Ram deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. And then, when they were way, way into the forest, far away, Ram understood that this isn't a deer, this is a rakshasa. Of course he already knew, but for the sake of pastime, he revealed to the world that he knew at this particular time. So then he took an arrow and shot it. And as he shot the arrow struck the body of Maricha. Maricha, according to Ravana's instruction, he called out, "Lakshman, save me! Lakshman, come help, save me!" Exactly to the sound of Ram's voice. Meanwhile, Lakshman was told by Ram to protect Sita in the dangerous forest. He was there, and Sita said, "Lakshman, go, go, Ram is in trouble." Lakshman said, "Ram is not in trouble, this is all nonsense. There's nothing that can harm Ram, he is the Lord." And Sita said, "No, no," because of her natural affection and love for Ram and conjugal ras. She was not seeing him as the Supreme Lord. She was seeing him as her beloved husband. She said, "Lakshman, you must go. You must protect Ram. You must help him. He's in need." And Lakshman said, "I have been ordered by Ram to stay by you." And then Sita said that, "Oh, just see. Now I know why you wanted to come to the forest. You were just waiting for the time when I would be alone with you and Ram was somewhere else in danger so that you could enjoy me." These words completely shattered the poor heart of Lakshman. He said, "No, Sita, how can you think like this?" She said, "Yes, you just want to see Ram dead so you can enjoy me. And if that is not so, then you go and help Ram, he's in need." So Lakshman, hearing the sharpened words of Sita, he said, "Yes, I will go, I will go." And Ravana is a terrible ten-headed rakshasa. By his tremendous mystic power, he disguised himself as a very gentle, learned sadhu. Very renounced. And when Sita saw him, because Sita was always eager, always anxious to serve the sadhus. When Lord Ram and Sita were living in Chitrakoot, that was their daily pastime. They would just serve the great sages and rishis. The Lord is always happy to serve his devotees. And the goddess of fortune is always anxious give whatever she has to her devotees. So Ravana came and asked Sita. He said, "I am very hungry. I have not eaten. Please give me some food." So Sita came. Some people say that Lakshman drew a circle around Sita that no one could penetrate. But somehow or other, Ravana tried to induce Sita to come out of that circle.